everybody. I'm in Maui, Hawaii, and Adam and I have been ministering on Oahu, Maui here. We're going to be headed to the Big Island. I'm so excited because it's the Feast of Tabernacles, and we love to come here to the islands of Hawaii and have the opportunity to minister the blessings of the Feast of the Lord. And so, as many of you know, we pass through Rosh Hashanah on October 2nd, then October 12th was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the highest holy day of the year. And Adam and I were on the Washington Mall that day with Lou Engle. It was truly an amazing time. A global cleansing took place, which set us up in Haggai chapter 2 for a release of the latter glory in the earth. That global cleansing and recognizing that Jesus, our Savior in every way, went up and put his blood on the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant in the heavenly tabernacle. And it was there that we know a declaration came forth by his blood in that it is finished, and now we've entered into a new and living way. And so we've stepped here into the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering. It's called all four of those things at different times in the Word of God, or depending upon what translation you're reading. And it's a special feast. It's a feast where Jesus himself in John chapter 7 said that he is the rivers of living water. Jesus practiced the feasts, and so this is a time of resting and receiving. I hope you're taking time this week to set aside to rest. On Wednesday, October 16th at sundown, we entered the Feast of Tabernacles. It will be over on October 23rd, and then October 24th is the eighth day. It is again another Shabbat. As we know it, it's Shemini Atzeret or Simchat Torah. It's the day that God says, I want one more day with my people, one more day of rejoicing and joy, one more day of rest. And so it's also the day on the Hebrew calendar that we remember what happened to Israel last year on October 7th. So many of us recognized October 7th here in 2024 as a year from the attack on Israel. But on the Hebrew calendar, it was Tishri 22, the 22nd day of the seventh month on the religious calendar, or the first month on the civil calendar. It is on October 24th. So if you go by the Hebrew calendar, that day is October 24th. Shemini Atzeret or Simchat Torah, the eighth day, a very, very special day. Actually, it's a day of new beginnings, because now that the 7 days of Tabernacles would be finished, and that's the eighth day, the final Shabbat time, that celebration time. So even though it was disastrous for Israel last year, we uplift the Jewish people during this time. The feasts are remembrance of when they left the bondage of Egypt, crossed the desert for more than 40 years, and then God prepared them during that 40-year period of time. They lived in what's called sukkahs or booths. And so during this Feast of Tabernacle, many who are practicing the Feast of Tabernacles or practicing the Feast of Sukkot will make these sukkahs, which are literally tents with a vulnerable side. So there's a couple of sides to them, and then there's twigs and branches at the top so that they can look out and see the full moon that is during the week of Tabernacles. So what is this time, the Feast of Tabernacles? What is a remembrance for the Jewish people? And then also for us who believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, it is the time where we remember that we were vulnerable before God came and walked us through the desert from our place of bondage to the place of the promise. And so God proved himself during that time. And so it's a time where we remember that in our vulnerability, God makes all provision for us through provision, protection, acceptance. He makes all provision. You remember the journey of the Israelites from bondage, from the bondage of Egypt to the Promised Land, God made all provision. Water from a rock came forth. We had manna from heaven. We had quail that came into their front yard. Their feet didn't swell. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had every need for 40 years. What was God doing during that time is he was reestablishing relationship with the Jewish people. They had been in bondage. There was much abandonment that they had experienced, more than 400 years as slaves, toiling and working for Pharaoh to increase the riches of Egypt. And when God came and literally pulled them out with outstretched arms, the word says, and pulled them out with his love. And of course, who has outstretched arms but Jesus, who died on the cross for us? He outstretched his arms. And God released them with signs, miracles, and wonders. Moses and Pharaoh had a showdown, and there were 10 plagues, and the people were released. But when they went, when they were released and they had no provision, right? They had to trust in the provision of God. They had to trust in who God is. And listen, this is a story. This is a journey for all of us. We have to trust God for all things. And we have to trust him for our provision. We have to trust him for provision, protection. It is a suffrage of humanity that when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, we got strongholded by Satan into a death realm, a realm where we would feel always like we didn't have enough. And so when we read the Old Testament and the stories of the Tanakh, the Torah, the Pentateuch, you know, whichever translations you've got going there, we're reading the fact that it's a journey of humanity. We have to come into a place of trusting God, a place of believing that he is good and he loves us. And so when he pulled the people out of the bondage of Egypt and they went on this journey and they had no provision, it means they could not work to produce. It means that no matter what, they couldn't make something happen. They had to wait for God in his great mercy to bring them everything they needed, bring them all their food, their water, sustain them in every way. And so this special feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles is a time where we all remember that in our vulnerability, humanity has a need for provision, for the protection of God, for acceptance from God, and that God provides all those things. So not only do we see it happen in the Old Testament, but then we know that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Yeshua HaMashiach, he came to the earth, he walked the earth, 100% God, 100% man, and in his humanity, he experienced the suffrages that we do. He experienced what it was like to live in these earth realms of death, always striving, always toiling, always having to work so hard, always having to gain provision, protection, and acceptance. But this week, we remember that God made all that provision, okay? Not only did he show it to the Israelites when he pulled them out of bondage and was going to give them the Promised Land, but he showed it to us, us who believe, Messianic believers and Christians. He showed us in his great love that he was willing to break the bondage of the dominion of sin, death, and the grave, die on the cross, be buried, resurrected, take his very own blood before his resurrection into the Holy of Holies, put his blood as our high priest, one without sin, go in there, put that blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. We know that a new and living way was started at that particular point. And this is why this is a festival of joy, is because we get excited about the fact that no matter how vulnerable and weak we may be, our God loves us and he sent his son Jesus as our savior to redeem us from the bondages of sin, death, and the grave, to deliver us from the bondages of Egypt, or the Egypt that we have in our mind, which is the pain of humanity, the generations of suffrage that the enemy imposed upon the sons and daughters of the king when he robbed us in the Garden of Eden, when he robbed Adam and he robbed Eve, and the curse came and they were placed under the strongholds of death in the earth, because that's when time started. Death is time, okay? It is a lack of it. And when they stepped into that, we all became them, and the generations that are us have sin in our humanity. But through our death, and this is Romans, through our death, burial, and resurrection in Christ, we have become new creatures. We have a brand new spirit, man. We have a soul that's in the process of transformation. What's transforming? That no matter how vulnerable we are, we can enter by faith, trust in God, and begin to live out what the God of the promise planned for us, okay? So what he desired for us in the Garden of Eden is coming to pass. I know you might say, Candace, that's crazy. How could it be coming to pass? It comes to pass by faith. What do you believe to be true about what Jesus did? The Apostle Paul shares all throughout the epistles how we need to think on heavenly things. We need to set our affections above. We need to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are citizens of heaven first, and that is where our conversation is. And in heaven, there is no need. It is our promise. And we can experience every heavenly blessing here on the earth today. So during the Feast of Sukkot and the Feast of Tabernacles, this is what we remember. We remember that this is a festival of joy, and because of what Jesus did, it's satisfying the atonement. His people have been set free from the bondage, the dominion of sin, death, and the grave, and we've been catapulted into the ascension living of the heavens, where now we have every need met. So what does this mean? This whole long introduction, so you can join with me and with millions all over the world in the celebration of the Feast of Sukkot. Jesus is the living water. This is John chapter 7, verse 38, 39. And he stood there and he said that. He said, listen, anyone who drinks of me shall have everlasting life. And so as we receive him as our Lord and Savior, we step into that place of everlasting life. Now, what does everlasting life mean? It means that we're living in the realms of the ascension. We ascended with him when he ascended 40 days after he resurrected. He walked the earth and then he ascended. And then 10 days later, 50, the number 50, or Pentecost, or weeks, is when he sent the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have God on the inside of us. We have his Holy Spirit on the inside of us that walks us through process of the journey from bondage of Egypt to the blessings of the promised land. Okay, and we find out who God is and we learn to trust him. So your soul transformation is about learning to trust God. It's a journey of faith. It's how much are you willing to live by faith that all your needs have been met and that you actually have the righteousness of Christ on the inside of you. When you receive a brand new spirit, when you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you receive his spirit on the inside of you, you have the fullness of his righteousness, which means you no longer need provision, protection, and acceptance, because the fullness of righteousness is the totality of provision, protection, and acceptance. What does this mean? This means that we have to change our thinking. So soul transformation, or our journey through the desert, is where we establish that we indeed have all things and we haven't been living like we do. Come on, somebody give me a high five. Just say, I haven't been living like I have all things, Candace. I live like I'm in deficit, like I'm in lack, like I'm in poverty. And so the challenge for us this week is that we would learn to put on the fact that all things are complete, all things are final. We have stepped into the realms of eternity. Now how do we act? Now what do we do? What do you do with the fact that you have all things and you don't even know that you do? So here's the word for this week. All right, I set you up. God says, I'm establishing covenant with you this week. So this week, as we prepare and finish up the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, step into Shemini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, what God is saying is, son and daughter, I want to establish my covenant with you. I want to establish the covenant of grace. I want to establish that I wrote my laws on your mind and on your heart, and I want you to rest in me. I want you to understand that I am
worthy to be trusted, okay? So see, we trust God for the evidence of what he did by sending his son Jesus. Don't trust God because you look at your life, okay? Trust God because you look at what happened when he sent his son Jesus, who accomplished all things and not only pulled us out of the dominion of sin, but resurrected and ascended us into the dominion of life, and that's everlasting life, which we can carry out today in our flesh. So God says, I'm establishing my covenant with you, not just the Abrahamic covenant, which is not only to the Jewish people, but to all those who believe by faith in what Jesus Christ has done. So if you are a Messianic believer, if you are a Gentile Christian, you came to hear the gospel message and you believe, you are part of the seed of Abraham. We are the generations of his blessings, okay? It doesn't mean you have to have Jewish blood in order for that to take place, okay? The Apostle Paul tells us that in the book of Hebrews and the book of Romans. Those that do believe by faith receive the covenant because the promise came through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And so this means that the promise came to those who are not only from the seed of Abraham, which are the Jewish people, but also this seed that carries forth through faith. So all those covenant blessings are ours, and those blessings are final blessings. Now, what's so cool is there are 7 blessings that God promises during the Feast of Tabernacles. That is in Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. I've said them multiple times on prior interviews that or prior weekly words that we've done. Financial abundance, double portion, miracles, restoration or restoration of miracles if you read them. God's divine presence, a blessings on the sons and daughters. God says he's going to pour out his spirit. All right? There's blessings that are coming upon us. The seed. The seed receives it, and the generations to come, our children and our children's children shall be blessed. And deliverance, salvation, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is part of the blessings of this time of year. And so this morning, when God woke me up and he says, I'm establishing my covenant, he means covenant wealth. You might say, Candace, what is covenant wealth? Is that when God decides to open up the heavens and I get $1 million? Well, that would be a huge blessing to you. But God is not that limited. I'm sorry, $1 million is a limit, all right? God is not limited. He is the God of abundancy. He is the God of the everlasting realms. So if we lack provision, protection, and acceptance because of the fall of man, and we saw that taking place with the Israelites as they traveled from the bondage of Egypt for 40 years, they had to have a change where they believed God was their provider. He was their protector and he was their acceptor in every way. They didn't trust God. I mean, did God leave them there for 400 years? I mean, this was not a good relationship between father and kids at this point. They tried to stay faithful, but let's face it, they thought God had abandoned them. So there was a lot of trust issues that they had with God during this time. Just like we do when we're born into the earth, we're immediately born into a place of separation from God until we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are outside and we have to be brought into the family. Once we are, then there's a process of training where we learn to trust God daily. So your desire for $1 million is a limited viewpoint. When God says, I'm establishing covenant wealth, what that actually means is that he's changing your mind that you might live in the realms of faith, which encompass the everlasting realms of abundancy in every area. That means being fully abundant in every area. May, as your soul prospers, okay, may you prosper and be in good health, physical health, even as your soul prospers, okay? So soul prosperity is the key to all things. And so how do we get that, okay? So if you want to step into covenant wealth, you have to step into soul prosperity. Soul prosperity means you believe God is faithful. You believe God is trustworthy. You believe God loves you. You believe that God, when he sent his son Jesus Christ, satisfied all of the requirements of the sacrificial legal system established in the earth by the law, where the high priest used to come before once a year on the Day of Atonement and atone for his own sins and the sins of many with the blood of bulls, goats, lambs, an unblemished animal, and put that blood on the Holy of Holies and the mercy seat. And Jesus did that for us, but when he did it, he was without sin, and he said he did it once and for all. He said, once I've done this, I've now catapulted the generations who believe into a place of continual overflow, continual abundancy. So if God says, I'm establishing covenant wealth with you this week, what that means is he's taking you to a place of more than enough in your mind. You see, he's the God of the promised land, all right? He's not the God of Egypt, okay? So stop thinking like you're in a place of lack. You're in a place of promise. So if you begin to start making decisions like you have all things, not like you lack all things, then you'll begin to see the manifestations of that take place in the earth. Now, one of the things that happened in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when they traveled across, the Israelites traveled across from the bondage of Egypt to the promised land, it says that God was testing them and he was proving their hearts. What he was doing is he was dredging up the 400 years of lack of trust and lack of relationship with God and all of the little idols that they had built, the processes and the plans, all of their toiling. He was tearing it all down. He was actually taking them to 40 years of rest is what it was. They couldn't produce anything. They could not make things. They had to wait to receive it. Now, I'm not saying that creativity didn't flow during that time. They were there for 40 years, so they learned to work with what they had, but they had no food. The only clothes they had is what they left Egypt with, okay? And they did leave with some good stuff because they did spoil the Egyptians, all right? But the bottom line is they had been toiling for all these years. They had been working for Egypt and the wealth of Egypt to come forth, the wealth of the pharaohs to be made visible. And here now, they were the recipients of doing nothing. Now, why did God ask them to do nothing but just receive? It's because he had to work that out of their system. It's an example of what needs to be worked out of our system. So this Feast of Tabernacles, we remember and we rejoice that we have received all things, including covenant, wealth, abundancy. Now, I'm going to read a scripture to you here because in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God speaks to us specifically about covenant wealth. And we knew this in verse 17 and 18. He says, well, he begins to, the whole dialogue before it is that, listen, I brought you through the desert, through fiery serpents and scorpions, through through drought. I brought water out of a rock for you. I fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know, that I might humble you and that I might prove you, so that it would be good for you in the end. All right. So it's good for us to know God as our provider. So in verse 17, and he said that this about us, that we, the people that have been held in bondage, would say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten this wealth. And verse 18 says, but we shall say, it says, but thou shalt say, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers as it is today. And it shall be, if thou dost forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall perish. And perish means you shall again return to the life of bondage. That's what perishing means, okay? It means that we get so focused on self-preservation. We get so focused on how do we get. That's part of that idolatry. See, God is taking your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, to a place of learning how to rest, that God himself will make all provision for you. And so if we want to see the glory of the latter house being revealed on the earth, it comes through a place of rest. It means the temple is complete and then the glory comes. This is in Haggai chapter 2. In Haggai 1, they had to consider their ways as they were building the temple, okay? But once it's built, right? They've considered their ways, and now his spirit comes to fill it and fills it with a great amount of glory. Okay, so what this means for us is that we are called during this time to step into a covenant relationship with God based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus's blood takes us to a new and living way. In this new and living way, we now step into the realms of having everything we need, which is why Matthew chapter 6 is so important, because as Jesus is teaching the people in Matthew chapter 6, he says, listen, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. He says, you know, my Father in heaven knows all of these things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that righteousness that you carry, okay, and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. People, if you have some, you'll have more. If you have nothing, then you've got to get some. What that means is get some faith that he has made all things possible for you. Learn to rest in this place. Learn to meditate in this place. Meditation, it is not some demonic word. It just means to murmur. Learn to murmur on the word of God. Learn to sit in his word. Learn to practice his word in a discipline of solitude, of quietness, in faith, and learn to hear his voice. Because this whole dialogue in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is started at the very beginning, saying in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, basically, it's not about everything that you do. It's not about how hard you work. This is the key. God says, I humbled you when you were in the desert. I suffered you to hunger. I fed you. I fed you with supernatural provision, with manna that you did not know and your fathers did not know, that I might make you know that man does not live by bread alone. You do not live by how much provision you have, okay? You'll never have enough provision anyways, because if you have too much, it will rot, okay? So bread alone is not how you live, okay? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, man lives. And this is very, very important. So what you have to remember is that you are called to live by the word of God. The word of God increases our faith, okay? When we hear the word, when we read the word, when we meditate on the word, when you murmur it in your mind, and through your mouth, and in your thinking, in your quiet times with the Lord, it changes you. The word changes you and transforms you into living in the everlasting realms. It's the only way to go, right? How do we live in everlasting realms? We have to properly position our mind, all right? So man does not live by what man produces. Man lives by the word of God. So when God talks about, I'm establishing covenant with you, what he's saying is, listen, I established covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I told him to go to this land he did not know, and that he would be blessed beyond measure, and that I would bless his children. This is what God says. And he says, but go to this land that you don't know. And so Abraham believed by faith, right? This was long before the law ever came in. And then he went on his journey, and God credited his faith as righteousness, okay? Credited it to him. So when we believe that God is our provider, and God tells you to go, and you become a sender, and you're a sent one, and he sends you somewhere, and you don't buck him, you don't fight with him, you don't say, you know what, God, I don't have enough to go and do this, but you just go, right? You're going to find out that you've stepped then into covenant wealth. You stepped into a covenant that produces a wealth of abundancy. Come on, do I need to repeat that again? See, when God says to go, you go. When he sends you, you go. Because he establishes covenant with you, and then he brings the wealth or the abundancy to you as a result of that. So, and that word wealth, it's an abundant word. It means living in a realm of abundancy. It doesn't just mean that God's going to give you money, or that he's going to give you food or clothes or anything like that. It means he's going to give you the fullness of everything that you need, which includes all of those things. See, we get limited. We'll say, you know what, God, all I need to fix my issue is if I can have like $100,000 or something. If I can have $1,000, if I can have $100, everything's going to be complete. You know what God says? He says, stop thinking so small. He says, when I talk about covenant wealth, abundancy, I'm talking about having a mind shift where you step into realms where there's immeasurable resources of wealth that come to you. If you want to see wealth living And wealth living is abundant living. It's heavenly living. It's everlasting living. You want to see Garden of Eden living. You want to see promised land living. Then you have to just change up here. Because once you begin through the word, grow your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay, your will, your choices and decisions, and your emotions are going to be different. So the bondage lies here. The dominion of sin, death, and the grave has already been broken. This has to change, all right? And I'm going to pray for you to have a change. And listen, if you want more understanding of what I'm talking about, okay, this is a special week of the Feast of Tabernacles, grab a copy of my book, 365 Prophetic Revelations from the Hebrew Calendar. I travel all over the world with that book, and people tell me they read it, and the prophetic revelations in that book are matching exactly what's happening to them every day of the week. And listen, this is a book you can use every single year. It's not difficult. I help you learn how to integrate the Gregorian and the Hebrew calendar. I tell you the right seasons to sow. But you'll receive a prophetic revelation. It's like a couple paragraphs. These revelations have been tested. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, but it's been tested for 5 years. They were written out. Same ones every single year at the exact same time. Why? Because God's calendar is the Hebrew calendar. It's not the Gregorian calendar. He speaks by the revelation of the Hebrew calendar. And if he's talking this month of Tishri about tabernacles, he's talking to you about covenant wealth abundancy. It's a mindset of abundancy that then will produce everything that you need. It is a place of continual rest. So learn about that. Come online with me for my Ascension classes. I do them once a month. My next one is November 12th at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. I have leaders all over the world. They come on the line with me. I'll share what God is doing according to the Hebrew calendar briefly. Then I'll teach you a little bit about ascension, how to live in these everlasting realms, how to break the time deficits over your life, the financial deficits over your life, how to start shifting your mind so you can live in the abundancy of the promised land now. Come on, this isn't for when you die. This is now. God needs you to make a difference today, and your poverty mindset makes no difference, okay? Because the world is already full of poverty in their mind. What people need to know and understand is levels of abundancy. And it's abundancy that comes from a mindset of abundancy, where every need will be accomplished and filled because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's understanding these. So join me for the next Ascension class. Just sign up for it. They're like $30 a month. And I would love to meet you. It's my Glory Road community. I'd love to get to know you. I'd love to pour into you. Maybe you're saying, you know what, Candace, God has called me to also do what you do, to go forth, to teach, to minister, to share, to help pull people out of the bondage of sin, a bondage of lack, to step into a greater understanding. And I want to know what you know, Candace, but I also want materials that I can carry with me that are going to help other people know this. Well, listen, we got you all taken care of in our Dream Mentors Transformational Life Coaching School. If you go to dreammentors.org, you can find out how you can join us for our Soul Transformation class, our 101 course, which will help give you a divine setup, helping you learn about the lack of provision, protection, and acceptance that we have in our mind, our will, and our emotions, and how to break those strongholds and step into the abundancy that God is calling us to live in. Then we have our 201 class, 301, the Mantle of God, additional courses, our School of the Supernatural, but get the foundational class, a Soul Transformation. And we hook you up with a coach that can walk you through it. Maybe you want to be one of those coaches. Maybe you want to be one of those coaches in our network. You can become a ministry affiliate, and you can be on our website. You can be in relationship with us, and we're going to help you do what it is that God's called you to do, which is to be a voice in the kingdom for living in these realms of ascension, these realms of abundancy. Be a voice that brings deliverance, healing, and salvation to those that need it the most. So we have a lot of ministry affiliates. They're running classes all the time. Get in one of their classes. Reach out to us at dreammentors.org, and we're going to get you hooked up and ready for that. Maybe you feel like, hey, my life's just cracking. I need a coach. Well, guess what? We can hook you up with somebody that can help you with that. You, maybe you have no desire to be somebody who takes the material, who carries it, who is a voice that carries. Maybe you need inner healing. You need healing. You need some mental shifts. You need a coach to help walk you through. We got coaches. So reach out to us at dreamhunters.org. Either need a coach, you hit that button, I need a coach, or I want to be a coach. And we're going to get you all hooked up with this great material. All right. And you get to become a part of the network. Woo, woo, woo. All right. Share this with some friends. We have apostolic leaders, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, healing ministers, financiers of the kingdom, all different kinds of amazing people that come on with us. Maybe you want to meet people from nations. Come on. This is the way to do it. We have all so many nations on the line. It's just a miracle to see what God is doing all around the country. And I want to come and share with you wherever you're at. So, you know, just go online, invite me. I'll come and be with you because I love people and I love to see them healed, transformed, delivered. All right. So I talked to you about the book. I talked to you about Dream Hunters. I talked to you about the Ascension class. I think that's it. So now I'm going to pray for you. So Father, I just praise you and I thank you in the mighty name of Yeshua for your love for us. And I thank you, Father, that you want us to live in the promised land. You poured out your blood for us, Father. You didn't give us a trickle. You poured it out upon the mercy seat that we might be saved, healed, and delivered. We thank you for the seven blessings of tabernacles, and we receive the living water of God. And maybe you're watching right now and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just say this simple prayer with me, because God says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I haven't believed you, God. I have limited thinking. I think too little. I'm overcome with sin. I'm overwhelmed with life. The weights of life have killed the joy. And Father, I want that back. So help me know you. And I want to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross for me. He died, he was buried, he resurrected, and he then ascended for me. I want to receive him and I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Come on right now. I feel God's presence in the name of Jesus. Just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Receive God. Receive Jesus. And the word tells us that when you say that prayer, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you will be saved. And saved means your spirit man is saved, okay? And then his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the divine God, comes to live on the inside of you and changes and transforms you. Come on, I'm getting excited right now for you in the name of Jesus. I can feel God breaking bondages off you right now in the name of Jesus. Bondages are coming off. The lies of the enemy are being snapped off of you. You were made for more than enough, and God intends to take you to the promised land. No matter the desert that you feel like you're in, you're on the way to the understanding of the promised land. All right. Be blessed. We love you. Reach out to us at CandiceSmithman.com or Dream Mentors. I want to help you live in the ascension realms and the realms of abundancy. All right. Be blessed. We'll see you later.